our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program every Sunday at 7 a.m. I'm Steve Day. And we always record with our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor of Highlands. We've gotten through ice storms and snowstorms and rain and wind. Typical week for you? Well, how'd it go?
Steve, good morning. I'm here to announce that I'm so delighted that we're having warm weather, not snow. I hope we don't have any more major snowstorms because we have a salt shortage. The reason we have a salt shortage, we tried to start resupplying our salt bins. This isn't just a Highlands problem. It's a national problem. The big cities, New York, Philadelphia, Denver, they order big loads of salt. When we call in and say we want 20 tons of salt, we're kind of at a disadvantage when it comes to getting on the priority list for salt.
The 64 east and west will have some stoppage due to that tanker that went over the side. We're going to try to get it out of the way.
And that's going to occur on Wednesday, and plan on not using that road during the time that the DOT has announced that it'll be closed.
And also, you mentioned before we started a recording about the construction in that same area.
There seemed to be some areas where the slope of the road had been compromised, and you can tell that the road starts to sink, and the guardrails look wavy. And it's my understanding that starting at the first of the week, DOT has a contract for like $680,000, and the contractor will be closing the road down to one lane traffic in those areas where they're trying to go back and reconstitute those road beds and do some repaving. Let me make two observations. So, with the extreme weather changes that we've had and the heavy traffic that we now see almost year-round on these roads, they tend to fail more frequently than in the past. The Whiteside Chapel Road, which is mostly paved, but there's about 1.8 or 9 miles that is still gravel road, I think it's time to pave that, which really becomes a detour if we lose access to 64 between Cashers and Highlands. You can go down 107, catch Whiteside Chapel to Horse Cove Road, and then come up to Highlands.
Boy, talk about the demolition. I was driving around, saw the Highlands Playhouse. That's gone. And Sweet Treats are making quick work of that.
A merchant was expressing the concern that we'd let the demolition crews shut down the sidewalks. It's a situation where you don't want pedestrians near that type of thing where debris is falling and so forth.
I see that claw, and I don't want to be around that.
I was noticing sometimes they would pull something down like at the Playhouse, and instead of it going one way, it would go the other way. In one case, on the wall of the Playhouse, it fell into Oak Street, almost hit a vehicle that was parked there. Once that debris is cleared, and that's going to be very soon, when they start doing construction on that corner of 4th and Main, they will have to put up safety roofs over the sidewalk where people can continue to use the sidewalk while they're doing construction.
Well, recap the Tuesday night meeting that regarded redistricting. I hear a lot of representation from town commissioners and also the townspeople.
There were two public hearings at the courthouse that the Macon County Board of Commissioners held. The first one was concerning the idea of redistricting the county. We had a good number of people from Highlands to come. We had our commissioners, Jeff Weller, Jimmy Tate, and Amy Patterson. I spoke, and then John Muir was there from our planning board. And then we had Freda Bennett, Jim Spencer. I went in and realized that the whole place was packed with people. I was kind of relieved because I knew that people from Highlands would come and express their concerns about that proposal. Everyone from all over Macon County, Cartooga J, Franklin, Ella J, everywhere, people were coming to express similar concerns, and that was, you're rushing too quick to make these changes. We, the voters, want to be included in the process and make the decision. If we redistrict, there are a lot of people saying what I thought would be appropriate, and the commissioners and other people were saying, why don't we look at the idea that with a new district, each district will elect their commissioner to represent that district on the Macon County Board of Commissioners. Let's look at the idea of having a large commissioner, and that would be a person who would run for chair of the Macon County Commission. The board would not appoint that, but the people would across the county. Thank goodness, and I applaud the Macon County Board, they slowed that whole process down and said that they would start looking at options for redistricting. Let's have a public process. Why not even bring in experts in this field, the School of Government, the State Board of Elections, maybe some former or current county commissioners with the county commission state organization, people from the different districts and precincts. Just a lot of things could happen.
Public hearing for the planning board to have members of each town regarding land use and everything else that happens at each town. Go ahead, give it to them.
Okay. If you are going to reconstitute the board, please continue to have a member of each town on the board and let us appoint the member, and that member should be able to vote. And currently we have our town planner who is on the planning board in Franklin, and I talked with Mayor Guffey about this. Their planner is on the Macon County Planning Board, and they are voting members. And I was just wanting them to keep that in mind when they reconstituted the planning board, because we are completely connected to the land use policies that the Planning Board of Macon County recommends. What happens in the unincorporated areas of Macon County can directly impact what happens in the towns. And I wanted to make that point. Case in point, across from this radio station right now, we have seen the development of some kind of parking lot or thing right next to the Colusage River. Our code enforcement people, it was not being done following all the proper erosion control procedures. We reported that to the Macon County authorities. They've been slow in responding to that. Why are we concerned? Because that erosion and runoff from that non-compliant project will wind up in Mirror Lake, and we're spending with state funds over $5 million to dredge that lake. It was pointed out that by one of the commissioners, our planning boards didn't allow representatives from the county to be on our planning boards. In fact, the people of Highlands and Franklin pay town taxes and have a planning board. And that's why we don't have county representatives necessarily, because we pay town taxes and county taxes. But the people in the county do not pay the town taxes. We do allow in Highlands people that don't live in the town to serve on the planning board. John Muir is on our planning board, but he lives outside the town. But he has a business in town, so he can serve. After the hearing was closed, they voted. Basically, the current county planning board has been dismantled. I think it had 11 members. They will now make appointments to a 5-member planning board, and then there will be 2 liaison members, one from the town of Highlands and the town of Franklin. I was disappointed with that outcome, but that's the part of the governmental process that we go through at the local, county, state, national level.
Liaisons. All right. As Paul Harvey would say, we'll find out on the rest of the story.
This county's growing. It is changing. What I'm about to say, some people will be very upset with me, but it is time to start looking at land use. One reference at that meeting concerning the reconstitution of the planning board was that we don't want people on the board that come from areas where they have zoning, that we feel like there should be more of a free use of land by property owners in the county. I don't agree with that. I think that we need to have zoning. Your rights to use your land stop when those uses start to impact the enjoyment and the use of other people's land. I'll give you an example. A floodplain area on someone's property could be partially filled in and developed. That is acknowledging that person has the right to use their land. But here's the problem with that. When you have floodings, as we learned in Hurricane Helene, that water's going to have to go somewhere. And if you filled in part of your floodplain, that's going to impact someone else's land downstream. I understand property rights. I'm a champion of that. But also, we have to consider our actions and how they impact other people that also have rights. You can't mention zoning in Macon County and expect to be elected to office. Will ensure that the environment and the property rights of all will be protected in the future.
Sir, keep watching them like a hawk. And that's just the beginning of our show.
I'm sorry for going on, Steve.
No. That is the most important things that we need to talk about, especially for the future. And the board meeting, and then while you were talking about this, is going to be not just a long one, but a long agenda.
When that third Thursday's coming up, and Sally's always saying, well, what are we going to do about dinner? Will you be back soon and I'll have dinner? I have to be honest. I'm not going to be back real quick.
Because the audit will be presented, and then away you go.
Let me also interject that we are planning a workshop at 6 p.m., and in that workshop is going to be about building colors and some other issues about business ordinances. I know Commissioner Weller wants to talk about the requirements that we have now and maybe some changes in the government institutional zone. And then the first item on the agenda for the board meeting at 7 p.m. will be the presentation of the town audit, which we do every December or January.
The Duke contract, zoning request, current charter lease for the Highlands Chamber, and on it goes.
That's right. The Duke contract, it's an amendment to the existing contract that's being driven by their merger with the two entities of Duke Energy, and I anticipate a final review and approval at this meeting. And then we will have a zoning request by Bill Futrell of a property next to Dusty's on NC 106. That will be a rezone request. It's residential, and the request would be to make it a B4 commercial zone change. And then, yes, the chamber lease. We have right now a lease agreement in place from year to year. And they will be asking that we extend that to a 5-year lease commitment so they can do more maintenance and planning.
The Franklin Road Circuit, the upgrade to that fourth circuit, the playground price, the budget, just going over a few more, and I know you're going to fill in the blanks here, and the modifying the recreation permitting processes. Man, this is going to be a long meeting.
It is, isn't it? The Franklin fourth circuit upgrade, we put out a bid. We need to approve that bid that came well under the appropriated budget line. The folks that have been working on the playground and the company that is charged with guaranteeing a maximum price, they will be coming and making a presentation and seeking approval. Then the recreation policies and permit application. Our town attorney wants to do some amendments or changes to that, not reinvent the wheel. His concern with the application, for example, is we need to kind of distinguish between different events and activities, whether it's going to be in the park or whether it'll be at some venue in the rec department.
It always is an educational moment here every week as we find out how to review the interlocal Macon County Town Commission or a town get-together, and this regarding Mirror Lake?
Correct. The plan that our engineers, McGill and Associates, have developed is that when we dredge Mirror Lake on those remaining stages, that dredging material will be placed in trucks. We've been working with Macon County, and the plan would be that we would build an access road into the transfer station that's on Wilson Gout Road, which used to be the old landfill. And then we'll be able to truck the sediment and deposit it over the area of the old landfill. This will be a win for the county in that they get a new access area to the transfer station. And it will be a win for us because it will help contain costs, because the alternative would be to truck that material maybe 20, 30, 50 miles away. And we're talking about hundreds of truckloads.
We're waiting. Are any names coming in, appointing the commissioner's seat left open by Buzz Dotson? Some names coming in?
At this point of our recording, we've had two applicants. We will keep that application process open until Monday at 12 noon. As soon as that 12 noon deadline is met, we will start the process, the town clerk will, of sending out the applications to the news media. After that is done, we will have, of course, on the agenda at the town board meeting on Thursday, how to proceed with making that decision on who gets the appointment.
Recording this Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program on Thursday before this Sunday playback. The town committees, the structure, that's going to be discussed.
Some of the commissioners have brought up the concern that our workshops format, which eliminated the town committees, isn't the only way we should be addressing some of the issues about town projects. Our town attorney will be doing a review of some options that we have, but maybe we do need some adjustments in how we address some of the problems that recur. Some commissioners might want to reconstitute those committees for specific issues that need to be reviewed. We will be hearing a report from our town attorney, and then the board will make a decision on how to proceed.
Well, the attorney's pretty busy. Of course, he wants to come up with how we run specifically the public comment.
He would like for us to formalize the rules and procedures for operating public meetings in the town. What we have used in the past since I've been the mayor, and even before with Mayor Wilts, we would follow the rules and procedures that Professor Fleming Bell from the School of Government developed in the form of a pamphlet or a book many years ago. They're kind of a modified version of Robert's Rules of Order. And I think it's a good idea that we do kind of codify what we do, how we do things at a meeting. Making motions, that when we can meet, under what circumstances, what constitutes an emergency meeting, a special meeting, and so forth. We do our best to follow state guidelines now. These rules would, of course, mirror state statutes and guidelines, but it would become a tailored document for the town of Highlands.
Getting to the small print there, I'm Steve Day, the town of Highlands Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor. And after this break, we go into part two of, just kidding. so we'll get a recap of what happened.
That's right.
Next week.
Yes, indeed.